morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. If you're watching on a live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Every Wednesday at 11:33, we're joined by Dr. Laura Hanks for a public cervix announcement. So if you ever have any questions for the doctor, does not have to be OBGYN related, you can always send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us. Also, the address you want to use if you have an idea for a guest we should have on the show or something going on in your community, whether you're in Oshkosh or Amory or Wausau or wherever, janesays@civicmedia.us. And a reminder as well, President Biden delivering an Oval Office address tonight across Civic Media's news talk stations. We will bring it to you live starting at 7 o'clock tonight.
I'm just wondering, where in the world will Dr. Hanks be today?
She was in Italy last week.
She's Italy, North Carolina, Wisconsin, California. She's everywhere.
The woman's on the move.
Does not stay still. She's like the Todd Alba of medicine. Alba. Alba.
Kind of.
There it is.
She's everywhere. She's everywhere. Dr. Laura Hanks joining us at 11:33 for public cervix announcement. I wanted to do this for a little bit, and it just took a little time to put things together. But Donald Trump said before he was elected in 2016 that he would surround himself with all the best people.
The best people.
All the best people.
Simply the best.
Unfortunately, so many of all those best people got tossed.
Yeah.
Some within months. Mm-hmm. Reince Priebus was there for 6 months.
Yeah. I remember when we thought Reince Priebus was going to be the captain of this new GOP ship?
Well, it was the cheesehead triumvirate, right? Yeah. It was Scott Walker and Paul Ryan and Reince Priebus.
Oh, I called Scott Walker flaming out quick. I called, he wasn't going to make it to the primary. But Reince Priebus is that he reminds me of Robin Voss. He's got he's known, but he's not known.
Right.
Reince Priebus is very smart. And I thought, well, this is going to be the guy who's going to helm the GOP with Donald Trump as the president, and he's going to be the guy behind the curtain. And no, was I completely wrong.
Yeah. And as a reminder as well, out of the 44 cabinet members that Donald Trump had in his administration, 40 of them are not supporting his bid for reelection. 40 out of 44.
That's a high percentage.
That seems high, and I don't math. But I can even I can grasp that. That seems like a lot.
Sorry, I don't math.
So obviously he's going to have to bring in a whole new group of all the best people.
Mm-hmm.
So here are a few that would likely get a job in a second Trump administration.
Okay.
And they're right out there.
Yeah.
You probably haven't heard of all of them, but these are active players.
Yeah.
In the right-wing ecosphere, Laura Loomer, for example. Laura Loomer is referred to as a right-wing personality. She did run for office. She lost. She refused to concede. Does that sound familiar?
I mean, it sounds like Carrie Lake. It sounds like Donald Trump. It sounds like so many people who just can't deal with reality.
Laura Loomer, according to the Daily Beast, is a white nationalist and apparently a Trump favored pick for a role in his campaign. And she sparked some outrage over the weekend after the death of Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who had been a voice in Congress for decades. She died of pancreatic cancer at 74 years old. She was a Democrat, longtime Democrat, progressive voice, and very well respected.
Yeah.
This was Laura Loomer's comments on Twitter about Sheila Jackson Lee. And I'm not going to say everything because of the profanities in here.
Yeah.
Even on her deathbed, this ghetto bee couldn't keep President Trump's name out of her disgusting mouth. Sheila Jackson Lee will be remembered as a destructive force in America, one of the most low IQ members of Congress in the history of our nation. I'd say rest in peace, but we all know lying Democrats who have destroyed our country are going to hell. Just a little side note. Sheila Jackson Lee was a graduate of Yale and the University of Virginia Law School before serving 30 years in Congress.
I mean, folks who are voting for Donald Trump, is this someone that you agree with the way she speaks? I mean, that's just like, don't say anything.
Well, exactly.
You don't have to say anything. Nothing. No one forced you to say, but she is she is a social media influencer. That's how she has to say stuff like that. I'm not defending her
to get attention.
She has to. She thrives on this stuff, and it's the only way anyone will care anything about her, because everything about her real personality is probably boring and ignorable.
Even more recent than the horrible comments she made about Representative Jackson Lee after her passing over the weekend. Now that Mark Kelly, U.S. Senator from Arizona, now that Mark Kelly's name is being bandied about as a potential vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris, Laura Loomer shared this on Twitter. She says Gabby Giffords, Mark Kelly's wife,
yes,
who was shot in the head,
yes,
during a political rally a number of years ago, survived. Now Laura Loomer says that Gabby Giffords is brain dead and criticizes her husband for using his wife's account to appeal to Kamala Harris so she'll pick him as VP. Gabby Giffords had a remarkable recovery from that injury.
Mm-hmm.
She has problems with her speech. She suffered a brain injury. She was shot in the head. But she's not brain dead. She said that she can't dress herself.
I mean,
all the best people, Greg.
Are these the people you want to be the role model for your children and grandchildren?
Do you let these people babysit your kids?
Would you want to hang out with them? Honestly, would you want to be at a backyard barbecue? Like, it's one thing to say, I don't like that bum Biden, or I don't like that bum Trump, you know, and then you move on to sports or weather or something else. Men never talk about your feelings. But do you want to talk to someone so vitriolic, so poisonous in their word choice? This is the thing you want. These are the people surrounding the morals that you claim to hang on to. This is disgusting.
Well, and I'm baffled by the so-called Christian believers, as she is, Laura Loomer.
Of course she is.
Saying, well, we all know that all Democrats are going to hell. Wasn't there judge not? Lest ye be judged? Was that not a thing?
Oh, that's not how it works, Jane.
No?
Nope, it's not how it works.
I read that wrong?
They use the Bible as God's judgment, apply God's judgment to the people, therefore they can tell you're going to hell. I'm not saying you're going to hell.
God is saying.
God, he spoke to me and said, tell Jane she sucks. It's crap. And
disappointing.
It's so, because I just think about it for a moment, what would happen? Because, you know, we're not famous, but we have a voice and people can say what they want about us if they'd like. Say what you want about me. I'm fine. I can deal with it. I just imagine the day where someone says something about someone I love and you're going to have to take my phone away from me. You're going to have to lock me in my house because I'm not going to hurt them, but I definitely will have a conversation with them. Because this kind of stuff is unacceptable.
It's just hateful.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I don't know how you can have that much hatred in your heart.
Oh, it's gotta hurt.
Right?
Like, it's gonna age you inside and out. And then you gotta ask yourself one day, what did it get me? What is your goal? What do you want? Do you want fame? You're getting it, sort of. But what does that get you then?
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, if you would like to join the conversation. Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, well, there's no cure for these people. I mean, there's no cure for being a Joffrey Baratheon, as Bronn said to Tyrion in one of the Games of Thrones episodes. That it is just, there's no cure for these people, but it is just the nastiness that's in themselves. I mean, they want to roll things back. I mean that. They want to roll things back to some kind of feudal society where they've got, we'll have our lords that rule over us, and the rest of us are just serfs serve at their pleasure. I mean that this whole thing, that part of it is that I think they're relying back on, they don't find democracy in Scripture, so they don't think it's important. They give a little bit of lip service to it, but they really don't believe in democracy.
I appreciate that, Mark. Thank you so much.
No, they don't believe, because at the end of the day with that book, it's about God's law. God's law supersedes our laws, and God's law says God rules. And if you don't adhere to God's law, then you are destined for
my interpretation of God's law.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we had Reverend Mark on yesterday. Reverend Mark Elsden on yesterday, and we were talking about service to the people, not these people or those people or certain people, to the people,
all people.
That's more about Christ's love. If you want to talk about the message of that book.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about all the best people that would likely be included in a second Trump administration. Johnny McEntee, I don't think, is someone that is well known yet, even though he was early in the Trump administration. He got tossed maybe 6 months after he first got in there because they didn't vet him. Whoopsie. And then they brought him back.
Yeah.
And now he is a major part of Project 2025.
You might know Johnny McEntee's face on, if you are on TikTok or Instagram, because he shows up a lot, whether it's his reels or people stitching them.
It's a dating app called The Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's
so he's on that all the time. He does a lot of short video clips. Mm-hmm. Here is one where he's talking about one fun thing he likes to do when he's killing time, apparently. Calvin, can we play that clip?
I always keep this fake Hollywood money in my car, so when a homeless person asks for money, then I give them like a fake $5 bill, so I feel good about myself, they feel good, and then when they go to use it, they get arrested, so I'm actually like helping clean up the community, you know, getting them off the street.
Such a public servant.
That man is just...
Now, he said, calm down, everybody, that's just a joke.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a joke.
It's always a joke when people are upset. It's never... Oh, what did I say? Why did I hurt you? What is it that I did that made you feel bad? How do I improve? No, this guy. And this is just one of dozens of videos. Yeah. And also, who's getting arrested for giving someone a Hollywood fight? If I work in it, just like, sorry, this isn't real.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, we're going to wrap up all the best people with a nominee from Wisconsin. You're going to love it. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Join us, call, text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We are talking about all the best people. Seems like a whole bunch of the best people that Donald Trump had in his first administration didn't last very long.
Yeah.
And out of the 44 cabinet members, 40 of them are not supporting Donald Trump's bid for a second presidency.
91%.
Oh, someone mathed for us.
Thank you very much, Drew from Watertown.
Appreciate that. So we're looking at some potential people who would be in a second Trump administration, especially if Project 2025 is implemented.
Yeah.
Because that will do away with any qualifications for a specific job. All that does is establish that you are completely loyal to Trump.
Yeah, I feel like the first 4 years was like a trial run. He was trying to get his sea legs on there, made some appointments. You're like, I don't understand that, but he's a Republican. They're going to make their friends, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But now this is round two.
Yeah, and they're ready this time.
The game has changed. There are no rules, and you will do whatever they want.
So I am suggesting this gentleman.
Yeah, yeah.
To join, should there be a second Trump administration, I think he'd fit right in.
Okay.
Wisconsin man, Paul Kovacic, ran to Ireland to seek asylum after being sentenced to 90 days in prison for joining the attack on the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah.
Paul Kovacic, charged with defying a court order to surrender and spend 3 months behind bars. So he took off and he went to Ireland. Seeking asylum.
It just seemed like the dumb move. but okay.
The 56-year-old said he got homesick. So he flew back to Wisconsin last month. And when he landed in Minneapolis, he was arrested.
All the best people.
Now he's in prison.
That's what we need to do. This should be a recurring segment. And every time you read him, I go, all the best people.
All the best people. The 56-year-old, whose name I think should be Kevin. His name is Paul, but I think it should be Kevin Kovacic. I just think it flows better.
Very Wisconsin, as you said.
That would be a very Wisconsin name. Kevin did have some prior problems. He did call himself a political prisoner when he was arrested in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got some prior convictions. 24, as a matter of fact.
Huh.
24 prior convictions, disorderly conduct, a couple other things. He's perfect.
I mean,
he would be perfect for a second Trump administration.
I mean, if they put their hand down, he grabbed down. They're like, you can be doing this, and we'll pardon them all away, expunge your record.
That's what Trump has said. Don't forget that.
And all of them though, everything,
all the rioters, all the January 6th attackers, even those who attacked our police, Capitol police officers, they're heroes, Greg. They're heroes and patriots.
Absolutely. And all you have to do is swear fealty, loyalty to the king. That's all you have to do.
And Project 2025 and the changes they would make to the civil service workers, Kevin Kovacic, I think he's made for it.
I'm sorry, you keep calling him Kevin.
Well, I know his name is Paul, but I like Kevin better. So
what if his middle name was Kevin? All right, so
Kevin Kovacic, Trump administration, if you're listening, I check him out.
Yeah.
You know where he is.
Yeah, his resume
is. At least for the next couple of months, we know where he is.
Just CCAP him. You can find his resume right there.
Brendan from New Jersey is on the line. Thank you for waiting, Brendan. What did you want to say?
Just wanted to say that some of the best people are also bugging out. I mean, Tesla stock is in free fall. So Elon has bugged out of his $45 million commitment.
That didn't take long.
And then we got guess what? You know something? There's another caravan in southern Mexico on its way to the border just in time.
No kidding. Okay?
They also did it in Finland. Putin did it in Finland. They flew the people in, and then they put them on bicycles, because it's Europe, of course, and they have them going into Finland. So they're busy on all fronts. And then I wanted to suggest another perfect guy out of your state. How about Glenn Gorthman?
Oh, you might, Brandon, you might have something there. If he's going to have to iron though, because he's going to have to get an iron, because if nothing else, Donald Trump is very aware of optics.
I think Brendan is onto a good idea. I'm going to suggest the creation of a new chair at the table, Secretary of Breakfasts. He loves a breakfast.
He might be overqualified.
He loves a breakfast. Secretary of Awkward Photos? I don't know. Let's make this happen, people. He's the most rumpled man in the Congress.
Among the most. I think he's Wisconsin most rumpled.
Okay. Well,
I don't know that we can make that broad of a judgment.
Sorry you don't believe in him.
Thank you so much, Brendan. Appreciate it. Carmela's been waiting. Carmela, thank you for your patience.
I just wanted to comment about the guy who is kidding, not kidding, about the fake money to homeless people.
Yeah.
My immediate thought was that's what started the murder of George Floyd. He got detained for like a fake $20 bill at a grocery store or something. I mean, this is horrific to even kid about something like that. It's reprehensible.
But, you know, Carmela, unfortunately, there has been so much normalization of, remember when Paul Pelosi got attacked by that guy with a hammer in his home? Mm-hmm. Don Jr. put on Twitter a picture of a pair of underwear with a hammer on it and said, this is my Halloween costume. They made jokes about Paul Pelosi getting attacked at all kinds of Trump appearances.
Yeah, it's almost like they're allowed to do it because we just think, it's not that big of a deal, or it's a joke, or what are you going to do? They're terrible. No. It's disgusting. Johnny McEntee says that isn't like that homeless thing about the fake money isn't even close to the most disgusting thing he says. And people are just like, oh, he's just being fun. He's just being fun. Lighten up.
Yeah.
No, no, Carmelo, you are right. You are right. There, and unfortunately, Johnny McEntee has the ear of way too many people.
But I think too, Carmelo, that's why we're talking about this, because, and we've said this many times, most people are not as involved in political stuff as we are and don't watch it as closely. And so a lot of this stuff gets missed. And average folks who have grandparents and kids and dogs and jobs and family, you know, and we're not blaming you. I just want to make sure that we all understand what's going on out there.
Yeah.
I mean, can know what's happening.
And steer you into the direction of more information when we can.
I don't know, kind of a better, kinder society. Can't we go back to something that resembles that?
Can we at least go back to a time where calling a living person brain dead or a person who just died terrible and a cuss word?
Yeah.
Can we go back to that time when it was reprehensible and there were consequences?
Goals.
Just a little bit.
We're just setting goals.
Yeah.
We're setting goals. Thank you so much, Carmelo. Really appreciate it. Thanks again for stepping out this morning. Steve from Milwaukee texting in, all they do now is call her a hoe. Yeah, which is, I mean, they had Joe on the hoe shirts.
That's disgusting, too. And
that they started right after Biden got elected.
Ashamed of themselves.
All right. Mm. News is coming up next. And then when we return, it's public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. And we're going to give a tribute to the one and only blues legend, John Mayall. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So happy to have you join us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The doctor is in 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday at this time. Public cervix announcement, Dr. Laura Hanks. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. Where
Good
are
morning.
You today? It's you're like our Carmen San Diego guest.
Yeah, I don't usually travel this much, but back in Wisconsin, happy to be home. Missed all the craziness of the whatever happened with Microsoft and the shutdown. Whatever,
oh.
Our plane wasn't affected.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
We were traveling during that day, of course, but Air Portugal, two thumbs up.
Good to know. That's good to know. Yeah, there were a couple of things that happened while you were away, but I'm sure you've caught up on the news by then.
Like a crazy person, I've been addicted to my podcast.
Right? Just trying to get caught up on everything. Of course, President Biden announcing on Sunday that he would not seek re-election, throwing his support to Vice President Kamala Harris. She has garnered a lot of Democratic support already.
And how amazing and how humble is that man? I mean, when have you ever seen someone with that much power be able to say, I love my country so much and I realize I'm not the person for the job anymore? And I just think that was such an incredible and I'm sure heartbreaking and hard decision for him to make, but I just have so much respect for him and his administration for doing that. And so exciting. We have a woman, we have a chancellor, a woman to be president.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Speaking of President Biden, he will be delivering an official address tonight from the Oval Office, and we will carry it here across our Civic Media News Talk stations that will start tonight at 7 o'clock. President Biden addressing the nation from the Oval Office tonight, starting at 7 p.m. You sent me this article, Dr. Hanks, and I had never even heard of this, again, because I don't have kids. This was never something. And this, if I had, when I was even viable, this may not have been a thing back in the day of horse and buggies and all those things. It's an article in the New York Times about cord blood banks. So first of all, Dr. Hanks, what is that?
What in the world is that? Right. So it actually started in 1988. So just to give you a kind of like timeline of what's going on here. So what cord blood banking is, what it's referring to is collection of umbilical cord blood at the time that a baby is born. So basically what we do, and I've done this several times, for patients that have requested it, the baby's born, we recommend doing delayed cord clamping, which means the baby's born, the placenta hasn't been born yet. We wait about 60 seconds because we know that that blood that's coming, still coming from mom and the placenta is full, packed full of like really great nutrients and things for the baby. So we do that. And then once we clamp the cord, we can there's a whole system that these cord blood banking they come with. But essentially you clean off the segment of the cord that's still attached to the placenta. You insert a needle and you collect as much of that, the blood that's still coming from the placenta. And it goes into a little baggie. And then I hand it off to the nurses who then, right. You know, send it to wherever it goes. So that's essentially like my side of cord blood banking. The reason for this is the thought is that those, again, that blood is full of stem cells. And I'm sure that everyone's heard of stem cells and kind of we're still learning about all the great things that stem cells could potentially do. So the idea is that these stem cells could help other people out, people that have genetic, hematologic, or malignancies. We've done a lot of studies with bone marrow transplants with patients that have these, but they've found that there is a lot of potential with stem cells from umbilical cord blood collection. Now, where this gets a little bit confusing, I think, for patients is that, so let's say that I was born. My mom decided she wanted to do cord blood banking. So she banked the blood that from when I was born. I then discover that I have some sort of rare genetic malignancy. And so she says, great, I banked this blood with the stem cells. Let's use it to fix that. That doesn't work because that blood is my blood and is still going to have that genetic anomaly. So it can't help me. So that's something that's a little bit confusing. It can really, in those instances, is only going to help someone else, a family member or someone not related to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So again, if you do this cord blood banking, the blood that you're banking is not going to be applicable to you. It's either going to be someone else in your family or someone else with a different condition. And then if you need something, then you have to go to someone else's cord blood banking.
Yep. Now, where it gets even more confusing is that there are two different types of cord blood banking, public and private. So the private are for profit. They're going to ask you for a lot of money up front. And they have different storage regulations than the public ones that have to. They both have to be like FDA approved, but the regulatory conditions are going to be different. And then the public ones are going to be, again, open to anyone can use it. Okay, so you're basically doing it for just the good of the community.
Right.
Whereas the private, you're saying, I want to have this for my family. And really, it's only really helpful if you have a family member that you know has some sort of, you know, genetic condition and that you know you want to use this cord blood for them. That's kind of really the only time that we think that private cord blood banking would make sense. Otherwise, it is a lot of money and they're not. And what this article in the New York Times talked about is that because they don't have the same regulatory standards, these a lot of these blood samples are getting contaminated with bacteria. And they're not, what's really crappy is that they're not telling people that. And so they, you know, they're banking it, they're paying money for like having it banked for year after year. And then they say, okay, I want to use it. And they're like, actually, it's contaminated with E. coli, but we've been happily taking your money for the last 5 to 10 years.
And what are we talking about on an annual basis that you're shelling out for this?
It depends on the company. This article talked about a woman. She had paid about $3,000 total. I think they usually have like, I think about like $500 to $600 up front. The other problem, too, is that with the sample. So because we recommend delayed cord clamping, our governing body, ACOG, does not recommend changing the standard of care. So it does not recommend like not doing the delayed cord blood clamp in order to collect cells. So we, you know, if you do the delayed cord blood cord clamping, there might not be a lot of blood left after that, because everyone's the cord stops pulsing differently for each baby, sure, right? So if we get a really small sample, you know, sometimes I've done it and I'm just like, we're kind of like pushing down on the cord trying to get as much as we can, but you just don't get a lot. And they don't also tell the patient that either. They, you know, they can they say, oh great, I got this bank blood. They, you know, they recommend us try to get 40 cc's and it comes in this little bag. But sometimes we can't, and sometimes it's just like the stem cells aren't even if we think we got enough volume, there's just not enough stem cells in there. And again, that's not informed to the patient until they like actually ask for it.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Laura Hanks is here. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. And we're talking about cord blood banking, and you can do it publicly. You can do it privately. I'm curious, Dr. Hanks, with these private banking companies, what is their big selling point? How are they convincing people this is the way that you want to do this, not the public way?
Honestly, I think it's the magic word of stem cells, that people hear that and they think like, oh, I'm going to have this like magical cure for my kiddo if I, you know, hold on to these cells. So, you know, and so there's this misunderstanding. And I think that it's very important for anyone that any doctors or anybody that's like, here's like, hey, I want to bank the cord blood. I'm going to do this. It's like, well, like you should really look into the company that you've chosen, how they're going to keep that blood, what they're going to do with it, what is going to be possible for you. Again, understanding that like that might not necessarily help that particular kiddo. Or if you don't have anyone in your family with any sort of like malignancies or genetic conditions, it's not really going to do anything
for anyone
to help you. Yeah. To help you. I mean, it could help others again, if you do the public cord, right, but if you're doing the private, you know, and again, you can use the private to help others if you want to, but it's not, it's kind of more geared towards like you having access to it for your own means. And I think that's kind of where people think, oh, this is a really cool idea and I can use it for even for research or something like that if I decide to use it. But if it's not you know, kept in a, you know, in the appropriate circumstances, then it can get contaminated or, you know, again, not even have enough.
Something I want to go back on, you said so I'm clear, they invest in these private cord blood banks. It's hard to say, by the way.
I know.
And they go in, they say, I'd like to get the blood, please. And then they say, sorry, it's contaminated. Are they not doing regular checkups on the samples to make sure? Because to me, if I'm investing that time and money and they say, well, sorry, I'm like, well, when did it go bad? And why didn't you tell me right away? Are they not required to do not daily, but like regular checkups on these samples to make sure that the blood is still usable?
Exactly. And that's where every private company is going to have different regulations, right? So if you're going to do that, that's why it's very important that you say, when are you checking this? When are you going to give me an update? You know, and they might say, oh, well, we'll check it when you want it. Like, we'll just keep it safe for you. That's not okay.
It's fine.
We'll get back to you. It's all good.
Steve checks it when he can.
Yeah, keep sending the money. Don't worry. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's not fine. No, that is not fine. Boy, that's really disturbing.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's just, you know, again, I think that in pregnancy is such a vulnerable state and people, mean well and want to like do, you know, cool things and think ahead. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's preying on people kind of in that vulnerable state that are like trying to do good and help either themselves or their family or the population out in kind of in a really kind of cruddy way.
Well, if you're thinking about cord blood banking, or you know someone who is, we will include this article in the show notes after the show is over. Give us about 45 minutes to an hour. Greg does a really great job with getting our podcast posted. And speaking of podcasts, if you ever miss part of the show or you would like to turn the show on to somebody else, you can always find us every single episode at civicmedia.us. Just click on shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and the entire page will come up every single show going back to when we started in January.
Holy crow.
I know.
Holy crow. That's cow and Christmas and crow.
Do we have time, Calvin, real quickly before we go to break? The EAA is going on in Oshkosh as we speak. Terry Barr with Civic Media. She does everything. She's the genie of everything. Mm-hmm. Has a special report on the EAA. Calvin, let's hit that before we go to break.
EAA Air Venture is underway. Along with the people, more than 10,000 planes are parked across 16,000 acres. An even bigger number, a boost to the bottom line. Here's EAA's Dick Nopinski.
In the five-county Fox Valley area, it's $170 million of economic impact. It gives you a level of publicity that's a door opener wherever you go.
Governor Tony Evers calls EAA one of the most important attractions while proclaiming it Aviation Week in the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Terry Barr from Civic Media, EAA, going on in Oshkosh all this week. Dr. Laura Hanks is here when we return, remembering John Mayall, great blues musician. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, baby.
And it's a hard road.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mox, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 855-752-4842. That's the number to call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. And we were talking about cord blood banking, and we'll have a couple articles up in the show notes if you want to find out more about that. We did have a question, Dr. Laura, from Matt in Germantown. Are stem cells still controversial? Haven't heard about that issue in a while.
Sorry. I mean, yeah, because we've been like so caught up in like, I mean, you know, abortions, I think that everyone, I think it is still controversial, probably, you know, if it got brought up because people don't understand how science works. but, you know, I think that this was probably, I know what they're talking about kind of back in the Bush administration. There was some regulations on stem cell research.
Yes.
Because, again, just like not understanding the collection process. I think they thought we were, you know, doing terminations against people's will and taking the stem cell or some such nonsense, which is like completely not ever been true. But as I kind of described earlier, that the process of cord blood banking and this how we collect stem cells is how it's done. And again, our governing body and where I practice and how I practice, we do not recommend changing obstetric care in order to gain stem cells. So it should not put the mom or the baby at risk in order to collect them, because it is, you know, kind of more of like for research and kind of like an extra. So in my personal opinion, I would say I don't find it controversial. But again, if you, you know, brought it up to others that don't understand.
Right.
All I have to do is say stem cells and people are like, what?
Yeah.
Man, I hope that answers your question. And we're going to wrap things up, Dr. Hanks. We know that you're a big Taylor Swift fan. Not sure how big of a fan you are of the blues, but we did want to give a shout out to legendary blues man John Mayall, who has passed away at the age of 90. And Greg is a guitarist. And the number of people that John Mayall influenced and worked with. Mm-hmm. Without him, we wouldn't have several of the bands that we love.
Do you love the band Fleetwood Mac?
I've heard of them.
You wouldn't heard have them probably without John Mayall. They all, the original Peter Green, John McVie, Mick Fleetwood, all started. And if you say to me, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, learn your history. But those three core members of Fleetwood Mac started with John Mayall. Mick Taylor from the Stones was with John Mayall before the Stones.
I was just going to ask about the Stones, because my family is, before our Taylor Swift era, we were huge Stones fans. We've been to like multiple Rolling Stones concerts. We went, you know, and they have that bluesy component.
Yes.
And that song about Virginia, obviously being from Virginia, is kind of one of our favorites too.
Certain opinions notwithstanding, if you were a fan of Eric Clapton, when Eric Clapton left a band called the Yardbirds because they were too poppy, he went right to John Mayall and the Bluesbreakers because he wanted to play low-down English blues. And by the way, if you are a Taylor Swift fan, you're going to love the blues. She sings about it a lot. She sings the blues in her way.
In her way.
But yeah, John Mayall is someone, in my opinion, who doesn't get his flowers enough for being one of the most influential musicians of the past 50, 60 years. And he kept playing. And that was the thing is, he died at 90. He was still playing up until a couple of years ago, I believe. He just never stopped, and he gave us so many great things. So, yep, 90 years old, did a lot of good. Go on your streaming app of choice or go to a record store, buy the Bluesbreakers. You won't regret it.
John Mayall.
Can I also just say that the fact that Keith Richards is still playing, I mean, that's like, there's no reason that man should still be alive.
I was going to say, Dr. Hanks, you're a doctor of doctoring. How is that happening?
He broke science.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the thing that I love the most about Keith Richards, I think, is that he knows about the Keith Richards and cockroaches joke.
Yeah.
And he embraces it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the joke is, in a nuclear holocaust, who's going to survive, Keith Richards or cockroaches?
Yeah.
And most people pick Keith Richards because nothing can kill him.
There was a line from Wayne's World 2 where he goes, that's why Keith Richards cannot be killed by conventional weapons.
That was like 30 years ago.
Thank you. You're welcome.
John Mayall, called the godfather of British blues.
Yeah.
And as you said, Greg, not for his own playing or singing, but for recruiting and polishing the talents of one gifted young guitarist after another after another. Eric Clapton, who was with Green, Peter Green, who left to found Fleetwood Mac, Mick Taylor, grabbed by Mayall by the Rolling Stones. It's Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, the bassist Andy Frazier, Frank Zappa.
Yep.
It's astonishing.
Yeah, it's a family tree that extends out far. And like I said, he's not at the center of the conversation ever, but if you really know the music, he's someone you absolutely have heard of and should get to know, because he doesn't play that American white blues. He plays English blues, which is more.
And there's a difference.
There is a huge difference. It's more based in the Robert Johnson tradition, if you ask me. It's more down low. It's more, it's not about being the best solo player in the world. It's about just like putting your guts out there and letting them hear your blues.
What a legacy. That's really cool to hear. We should start making public service announcement, the last part, just be about music.
We can do that.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I would love to know what Calvin likes to listen to. No, Calvin doesn't want to talk about it. Oh, Calvin.
You know, my dad wants to know what Calvin listening. He's always wants to hear more from Calvin.
Everyone wants to hear more from Calvin.
Getting the people want to know you.
Or he's just going to stay the producer of mystery. That might be better, Calvin.
I don't know how much, it's popular with my age group, but as far as the generations that listens to our show, I don't know how popular appeal my music choice has.
That doesn't matter.
But what you're doing,
we want to expand. We want to expand our musical repertoire.
Okay, I will have some homework for you guys.
Slip some in the next couple of days. Slip some in. That would be great.
Resident Young Person's Corner.
Oh, right. I like it. New feature. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday for a public service announcement. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanks. We will see you in a week. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers for getting us and keeping us on the air. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means everything. I hope you find a little joy today and you have the chance to share it. News coming up next, followed by Todd Alba right here on the Civic Media. Radio Network. See you in the morning.